Blaster.
This is the worst.
All right, we're back with a volume two in our series Worst Of, and I'm joined again by Brian Sword from the Double Stop. Hey, Brian.
Hey, BJ. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Glad to be back.
Worst Of. It's a great idea that you had, and the Worst Of the Beatles episode was pretty popular, even though I played all 9 minutes or whatever of Revolution Number 9.
Yeah, I know. People enjoyed it, but they still kind of hated you, right?
Yeah. But yeah, well, we were laughing about the whole idea of now we're gonna have an episode where we play the worst songs by the, even though some of your picks, most people probably didn't mind hearing Petty Lane. I think I played a Paul McCartney solo live version of it towards the end.
I'm sure there's a few people besides me that hate that song.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. When we first talked about this idea, it seemed like the obvious place to start was the Beatles, and then the next obvious place to go was Led Zeppelin. So we always planned then the first two volumes of Worst Of would be Worst Of the Beatles and then Worst Of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, if we're going to start doing something like this, you got to choose bands that everybody loves, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I found this one much harder, to be honest. I found this week's The Zeppelin episode a lot harder than the Beatles. I frankly found it pretty easy to find five Beatles songs I hated, but the Zeppelin, I had to dig a little deeper. It was a lot harder for me, even though I still got a few songs that I'm sure are going to piss people off.
Yeah, well, that's your whole goal, right?
A little bit.
But I guess here at the beginning, we should talk a little bit about the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo, which we're both going to be at in Nashville.
Absolutely.
August 26th, and still hoping to see a flood of people go to the GoFundMe page and donate $5 and put Rock and or Roll in the comments just so I can show Ralph and Ian from Rock and Metal Combat. Just so I could say to them, hey, look at all these people.
We're going to have to like give them title sponsor of this thing or something, because their people are just coming out. It's really impressive.
Yeah, they've dominated. You know, their fans.
It's going to be the Rock and Pod brought to you by the Rock and Metal Podcast.
Yeah. They've inspired some kind of loyalty or passion or whatever in their fans that they should be really proud of. That their fans have, you know, wanted to show up and say and show their love for that podcast by contributing to the thing.
Hint, nudge, nudge, Rock and or Roll podcast listeners. You're letting your boy down here. Come on now.
Yeah, it's not easy to come on here and ask for money, but this is such a great thing that we're doing that I really believe in, and it's going to be a really special thing. And the more successful it is, the more of a chance that, you know, it'll happen again. So
absolutely, yeah.
And the idea we had from the start was when we were going to ask all these podcasts to come to one place, we wanted to try to cover travel costs for the different podcasters to come from all over North America. Like, for example, you're coming from Canada. Mm-hmm. So our whole goal, the idea that me and Chris Sinzak had was, if we're going to ask all these podcasts to come to this, we should try to cover their travel. And so that's really what the GoFundMe is about. We've got the venue paid for. And we've got other little expenses like insurance, event insurance, which was a thing I didn't even know existed. But now I realize it's a huge racket. And anytime there's anything like this, you have to get event insurance. But the real thing we're trying to raise money for is for people's plane tickets and for hotel rooms for the podcasters.
And I think it's important for people to remember that we're not making any money off this.
Yeah, exactly. There's no
profit. We don't make it in our podcast, and we're not going to make it on this event. You know, if we can raise enough to have the event, And then if we can get some people to show up at the door and buy tickets at the on the day, well, that means that'll be money that'll go towards next year's event. It's yeah. not like, you know, anybody's going to pocket anything. Nobody's going to pocket a dime off this. Any money made is going to go right back into the show.
Or to charity. We've also talked with Eric Miller from Pods and Sods about possibly donating to a charity. Chris Sinzak knows he has a friend who has a cancer charity in honor of his aunt, I think. And so, yeah, there's definitely not going to be anybody pocketing any profit from this.
Exactly.
That's not the purpose of it.
So if it either goes to charity or it goes to next year's event. Great.
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, none of us are making a penny off it, if that's the concern. I don't know if there is that concern, but I'm just throwing that out there that we're not making a penny.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's a good point to make because, this is not a money-making endeavor. It's just for all of us, the podcasters, to get together. And I think it's also just to try to get any kind of attention or credibility or anything like that for all these rock and roll podcasts that I think are kind of overlooked. It always bums me out when you go look at the iTunes top 200 music podcasts and it's almost all a load of electronic shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I think it's more than just an excuse for us to get together, because it's not like we're asking, you know, people to pay for us to go hang out. It's an actual event. It is an event. There's going to be live shows. There's going to be signings. There's going to be panels. It's going to be a legitimate convention for something that, you know, people overlook, I think, as you say, in terms of this type of podcasting, which I think brings a lot to the scene.
Yeah, it's going to be a jam-packed day. We're still trying to figure out what the schedule is going to look like. But yeah, there's going to be live podcasting all day. And also, Chris has just put together the pre-party, the Friday night before, which is so awesome. The bands Denman and The Tip are both awesome hard rock bands out of Nashville. And it's going to be at a club in Nashville called The Cobra, I think. And it's a $5 cover. And it's going to be a killer show. I love those bands. I love Denman. They've been on the Decibel Geek. They're two brothers. Did you hear that episode?
Yeah, I did. I did. It was great.
Yeah. And that young guy, the younger brother, he's a shredder. And he looks like he's straight out of the 80s and he shreds. And their music is right out of the 80s too.
They're awesome.
Yeah. So that show the night before Friday night's going to be amazing. Then all day Saturday. Yeah. It's going to be a great thing. Maybe we'll get some press out of it. Maybe we'll get on Blabbermouth or something, you know. And it's just going to be a very cool event to support podcasts and just to. Yeah, it's just all about, like we say, celebrating what we do, because we all put a lot of time and effort into this, and it's a big labor of love, and so this is just going to be an event to celebrate that. So, like we keep saying, the main goal is for you to go to the GoFundMe and pay $20 for your ticket and come to Nashville and see. That's number one thing we want to happen. But if you can't come to Nashville and you enjoy all these podcasts, just go chip in $5 or $10 and help cover all of our costs, and it would be greatly appreciated. And make sure if you do that you put rock and or roll in the comments so that I can show Ian and Ralph. Because they're bragging, they're very proud of themselves and their listeners, and they should be. So, all right, so that's enough of that, I guess. But Nashville Rock and Pod Expo, August 26th, it's going to be great. And also, you're going to hear multiple episodes of Rock and or Roll that are going to come out of this. I'm going to definitely have a few episodes that I will record over the course of that weekend. A group of us are also going to go to Memphis the next day and go to Graceland and maybe Ardent Studios. So I'm going to record a lot of stuff on the way there and while I'm there. So it's going to be good content for all the podcasts, really. There's going to be good content to come out of it too. So
yeah, I'll be doing a live show too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great thing for this group of podcasts and what we represent. And yeah, it's going to be great. So please go. rockandpodexpo.gofundme.com, whatever. If you just Google like Nashville Rock and Pod, if you Google that, all the websites will come up. The GoFundMe, there's a .com we should mention since we're doing Worst of Led Zeppelin right now, that one of the perks, if you go contribute $50, you can do a Worst of episode with me and Brian, and you could pick the band.
Absolutely. So
if that sounds like fun, then go. If you go contribute $50 on the GoFundMe and write that it's for a Worst of episode in the comments, I'll get in touch with you, or you can get in touch with me and you can pick the band and you could come on with me and Brian and we'll do a worst of episode with you. And that also counts for a no shame episode as well. If you want to do a no shame episode and come on with me and pick 10 songs that you should be embarrassed to like, go contribute $50 to the GoFundMe and put in the comments that you want to do a no shame episode. And
we'll make come on, that guys, happen. I really want to do a worst of Kiss. So come on, somebody buy it and do Kiss, because I really want to do that one, because that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so please just Google Nashville Rockin' Pod and you'll see all the links right there. So, all right, let's get into this worst of Led Zeppelin.
All right.
Obviously, we don't need to explain who Led Zeppelin are. For me, Led Zeppelin don't rank as one of my favorite bands. I like a lot of Led Zeppelin songs, and they've been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. I don't know what radio has been like in Canada for your life, but for me, it's really hard not to have a love-hate relationship with Led Zeppelin, mainly because of classic rock radio, especially when I was in middle school and high school and back when we didn't even have a cassette player in the car. Like, I spent a lot of time in my friend Dan's car, too much time, with no cassette player. So we listened to a lot of classic rock radio, and to a real music fan, the radio, it was then and it still is now, it's an insult. It just makes me angry because they play the same songs over and over and over.
Yeah.
And the idea that they think people just want to hear The Boys Are Back in Town 10 times instead of hearing a couple other fucking Thin Lizzy songs, it just makes me angry. And obviously Led Zeppelin are one of the most egregious examples of classic rock radio. They play more songs by Led Zeppelin, but they still take 10 or 15 songs and just play them ad nauseum until you never want to hear them again. Like, I never want to hear Rock and Roll or Heartbreaker or Ramble On or Fool in the Rain. I just never want to hear those songs again.
Yeah.
So it's hard to be objective and say, yeah, Ramble On's a good song. Yeah, at some point in my life, I liked Ramble On, but classic rock radio made sure I never want to hear it again. But there's so many great Led Zeppelin songs that don't get played on the radio that I can enjoy. Like a song like The Song Remains the Same. You know, they never play that on the radio, and that's one of the best songs by the band. So,
yep.
So I still love a lot of songs like that, but you get that group of songs that you've just heard way too many times. And so I didn't pick any of those songs. Like, I mean, I don't know. If I hear Rock and Roll, I don't have a good feeling about it, but at some point in my life I probably liked it. You know, the first million times I heard it, I don't know. But yeah, so what I did is the same as the Beatles episode. I just tried to pick what I think, in my opinion, are the five worst, like, bottom of the barrel Led Zeppelin songs. And we just stick to originals, not covers, because there's a lot of Led Zeppelin covers that I'm not a big fan of, because I don't like blues rock. Just blues rock is not something I like. Just generic blues rock.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what I did for mine, I just went for the main albums, and I didn't include Coda in this. I just chose the main albums when they were a band, and I didn't choose any kind of obscure B-side that wasn't on the main album. So I went through those.
Right.
And chose my song. So there are covers. I do have covers, but they're the covers that were on the main albums. So that's how I did my list.
Okay.
And I admit that classic rock radio was an influence. It definitely was an influence on at least one song on my list, where I was just so freaking overplayed. I hate the song now. So it made my list.
Right. Yeah.
So, oops.
Yeah. There's so, yeah. Like, Jermaker, you know, like, never, please, never again, never, never subject me to that again. But
yeah,
but I can't say it's one of their worst songs at the same time. Maybe I just ruined the surprise. Or as I used to think it was, Dire Maker when I was a kid, before I knew. All right. So do you want to start or should I start? We'll start. What? Well, did you rank yours like 1 through 5? So you have your number one worst. Or are they just five in no particular order?
No, I have mine are in order.
Yeah, I
mine are in order. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me go first, because that'll mean that you get to go last. It's only fair. It's your show. You get to go last.
All right.
So my first song. Okay. My first song comes from Led Zeppelin 1, and I did beat up on Led Zeppelin 1 a little bit. And it is a cover. It is You Shook Me, the Muddy Waters cover. Holy crap, that's boring. And I do like blues rock, and I know you said you had an issue with blues, like some blues, and I like a lot of blues, and but I'd rather listen to Muddy Waters than this sleepy-ass version of You Shook Me. It's just so boring. I know it's supposed to be kind of like psychedelic blues or something, like, which they did a lot of, but oh man, this version of that song puts me to sleep. I just freaking hate it.
I love the folk blues, you know, Leadbelly, Robert Johnson, that kind of stuff I love. But if it's amplified blues rock, for some reason I hate it. I really just hate it. I hate the formulaic, generic, repetitive blues rock song. It's like my kryptonite. It's really like my least favorite, practically.
The thing I should have mentioned, 6.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
6.5 minutes of boredom. Like, what are you just trying to fill space?
Well,
holy
there's just
crap.
There's just the repetitive template that is a blues rock song.
Sure, I hear that, but in this particular case, they did like it's bad enough as it is, and they had to stretch it out for 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that where it was fun for the band to play, but that's the only fun thing about it. It's not fun for anybody else. It's just fun for them.
No way, man. Yeah. And this is back in the days of, you know, pure vinyl where it's like you had limited space.
Yeah, right.
You just filled 6.5 minutes of that garbage.
All right. Well, my number five. Somebody actually guessed in the comments of the Worst of the Beatles. Somebody said, do we should do Worst of Led Zeppelin next? And then somebody else said, yeah, but you can't just make it all from Presence and In Through the Outdoor. And and yeah, my number five is from In Through the Outdoor. It's a song called Hot Dog, which in the Mick Wall book, When Giants Walk the Earth, which is a great, great book. He describes Hot Dog in that book as lightweight country hoedown parody, which, yeah, yeah, that's, I guess that's what it is.
It's you know what it is? It is a freaking terrible song. You're right.
It's a really stupid song.
That's the mind song number six. It's terrible. Like, that's honorable mention for me. It is absolutely a terrible fucking song. It's awful. They should be embarrassed themselves about doing that song.
I guess it's filler of the worst kind.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. So,
I wrote it's a parody minus the humor, which I think humor is in the definition of parody, though. So that means, I don't know, what is a parody minus the humor except just shit?
So the album that came out 2 weeks ago unfortunately got a bit delayed again. It was a fortnight ago, then it was a week ago, now it's next Friday. Just goes on and on and on. This is a track from it that we should dedicate to trials in America.
Yeah, how come you know what it's called?
You've been reading about the Swedish and the Danish, eh?
Hot dog.
Page, you should be embarrassed by that song.
Yeah, yeah, they really should be. I mean, maybe they are. Maybe crazy. They are embarrassed. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Okay, so my second song is another very much in the vein of You Shook Me, but I Can't Quit You, Baby. Again, Led Zeppelin 1, Willie Dixon cover.
I can't quit you, baby. Gonna put you down for a while. I said I can't quit you, babe. I guess I got to put you down for a while. Child. Did you know I love you, babe? my love for you I could never hide.
So boring. I there's nothing else for me to say except it's just really freaking boring. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, and I guess at the time, was it innovative that they were taking old blues songs and amplifying them? And,
well,
you know, I mean, I guess. So I don't know. I don't know, I guess they were, you know, that first Led Zeppelin album was, people considered it very revolutionary at the time. It's hard for us to look at it from any kind of perspective except our own.
Like, I know they get a lot of praise, I guess a lot like the Rolling Stones did, of taking these artists that really, the blues artists that weren't really mainstream popular and giving them attention. But, you know, it's their first record and they're pumping it full of these blues covers and doing boring versions of them. It doesn't make any sense to me. Not when they're that level of, like, the songwriting capability in that band is so high. Why are they wasting time doing cover tunes of blues songs?
Well, at least they didn't, like, slightly change it and say it was written by Page and Plant. Or maybe Fair they enough. Did. I can't quote you. Maybe. I don't remember. Maybe they
no,
did.
No, they gave credit.
All right. That time they did.
You know. But even though they have been accused, you know, the whole court case recently, but there's been a few court cases, I think.
Oh, I did an episode called Dazed and Or Confused where I talked about it. There's the songs they ripped off.
There you go.
Yeah, I did. It was a mixture of the songs they ripped off and my favorite Led Zeppelin songs at the same time.
Oh, that's
but yeah,
a good idea.
If you've ever heard Dazed and Confused by Jake Holmes, it's outrageous what Jimmy Page did. And then he claimed, up in the, like, there was an interview in the 90s where he claimed to have never heard the Jake Holmes song, even though Jake Holmes opened for the Yardbirds.
Yeah, right.
And one of the other guys from the Yardbirds actually had a memory of him and Jimmy Page going out the next day and buying the Jake Holmes album. And then Jimmy Page claims he never heard it, even though it's a complete copy. The Led Zeppelin song is just copied from the Jake Holmes song. My number four is a song that it would be good if they stole it because they could blame somebody else then. It's called Candy Store Rock from Presence. And it's another, I guess it's similar to Hot Dog. It's a, like a rockabilly inspired song, just kind of formulaic and dumb. Mick Wall says its genesis traced back to live performances of Over the Hills and Far Away where they would drift off into an improvised jam. So basically, on tour, they just started doing an improv jam at the end of Over the Hills and Far Away, and then they said, oh, let's put that on the record. So, yeah.
That
an improvised jam turned into a song is probably not going to be something I'm going to like.
It's not a good song.
Yeah.
No. Yes, we do. Okay, my next song. This one's from Led Zeppelin 3. Celebration Day. I can't get past the shitty intro of that song, but it just feels like a whole bunch of riffs just tossed together and not really a song to me.
Faces cracked from smiling, all the fears that she's been hiding, and it seems that pretty soon everybody's gonna know.
That's my favorite Zeppelin album. Even though my next song is from it.
Pardon me?
My next song is from it, though. As I say that.
Do you like that? You like that song?
Yeah, I do like that song. Yeah.
For the win.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Led Zeppelin 3 is definitely my favorite, which one of the main reasons is, besides Immigration Song or Immigrant Song, none of the rest of it's like overplayed on the radio.
Yeah, that helps. So it is all in all, it's a great album.
Yeah,
but that one song, I just don't like it. I think that intro is just a big old mess.
Yeah. All right, Celebration. So is it mainly because of the intro, or you just don't like?
I think, well, it's a combination of the intro and the fact that it doesn't feel like a cohesive song. It just feels like a bunch of riffs tossed in together.
It's so true. It's a weird song.
It's a weird song.
Yeah.
And if I'm gonna choose, you know, the worst of Led Zeppelin, I'm going to choose songs off Led Zeppelin 3 because it's a great album.
And you want to piss people off? Yeah.
If I could piss you off, then I'm happy.
Well, speaking of Led Zeppelin 3, my third pick is Blues, a blues song and a song that they stole, sort of, called Since I've Been Loving You, which, exact kind of song I do not like at all, and I think is a big bore, is a song like this. And there's a Moby Grape song called Never, which is a similar, it's not the same song, but it's similar vibe, but it's funny that the first, like, two lines of the lyrics are almost word for word taken from the Moby Grape song, so they couldn't even just change the words. Yeah, I just think this song is incredibly boring. And since it's stuck on my favorite Zeppelin album, that probably even makes me like it even less, because it's just in the way when I would just wish I could listen to the record without hearing this slow blues song. Ugh.
7 minutes and 22 seconds.
Yeah. And I think people love the guitar solo in the song, right?
Which, yeah, that's why... Like, I forgive that song because there's a lot of great guitar in it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll admit it's very similar to my first two songs. To me, it's infinitely better than the two I chose. But since you decided not to do covers, then it's fair. Okay, well, this is the one that I had to really debate myself. Why did I put this on the list? And this was probably the first song that instantly came to mind. Led Zeppelin 4, Rock and Roll. Overplayed and overrated. If it comes on the radio, I change the channel. And, you know, so obviously the radio killing has played a part in why I put the song on. But at the end of the day, okay, it's a little catchy. The lyrics are just ridiculous. Like, they're stupid-ass lyrics. I just don't think it's a great song.
I definitely could have put that song on my list. If I think of Led Zeppelin songs I hate because of the radio, that's the first one that's going to come to
Absolutely.
Mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just so been destroyed by the radio. And yeah. I'm trying to, like, if I remove that, would I like the song? No, not really. It's. I don't really think it's that special. I think Led Zeppelin have about 50 other songs that are better than that.
Oh, for sure. But I think if I go back to the first time I ever heard that song, I'm sure I liked it more than the songs on my list. But yeah, it does not hold up It's very generic and mediocre.
Yeah, it's pedestrian.
And then to be played incessantly, just incessantly on the radio. And kind of, it really seems to be one of the most famous Led Zeppelin songs for some reason.
Exactly.
So yeah, I easily could have put that on my list, but I had to be honest. If I was completely objective about it, it probably wouldn't. It's not worse than Hot Dog, which is my number 5. I have to admit that, but yeah, I could see putting it on the list for sure.
It's been a long time, but a long time. Lonely, 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 lonely time. Sure I have. Ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah. Oh, rock it, rock it. Ooh, yeah.
All right, what's your number 2?
My number 2 is another one from Presence called Tea for One. I wrote down long, boring, slow, tedious blues song. So it's even worse than Since I've Been Loving You. And even though it's all those words could be applied to that for me. This is just a coma in song form. And Mick Wall says that Jimmy Page even admitted that this song was a retread of Since I've Been Loving You. Like, they just kind of redid Since I've Been Loving You. And
yeah.
Robert Plant wrote the lyrics when he was in the wheelchair after the car accident. So, yeah, it feels like it's an uninspired song written by a guy in a wheelchair. I don't know. It's, yeah.
It is.
It's lays there.
It's
really a song in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I have to say that I agree with a lot of, like, your songs.
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah. Actually, I think all the way through. I think there's maybe perhaps one that I'm, like, a little more forgiving on, but this is another shitty song. It really is.
Looking at the clock, time moves so slow.
beautiful hour. Baby, sometimes you slip into day.
All right, my final song. Well, I'm going to pick on same album that you love so much, Led Zeppelin 3.
Oh, no.
Hats off to Roy Harper.
When I done quit the money, baby, I believe I'm sure the
unlistenable. Absolutely hate it. Unlistenable. How? Oh my god. You cannot possibly defend this song.
Yeah, no, that one's not so great. It's way at the end. At least it's sort of at the end, yeah. Right? Yeah. So
it's the last song. Yeah. Yeah, it's just I don't know. I was trying to read up on like the processing on it because it's horrific. So I read it's processed through a vibrato amp sounding like a tremolo effect. So that's, I don't know. That effect on it just takes a shitty song and makes it even worse. But, you know, I think they're trying to hide its shittiness by processing it. But I think that's an unlistenable song.
There's a lot of stuff on Led Zeppelin 3 that seems like it was inspired by Roy Harper, but not that song, right? Yeah. That's weird. I guess that's ironic.
All right, I want to hear your number one worst Led Zeppelin song.
My number one worst Led Zeppelin song is supposedly one of John Paul Jones's favorite Led Zeppelin songs. I wrote down it's a ham-fisted tribute to James Brown and apparently was entirely made up in a jam session, composed in real time as it was played. That's not a good sign. Mick Wall describes it as a funk parody that singularly fails to deliver any laughs, and he describes it as a dance groove that you couldn't actually dance to. It's a song from Houses of the Holy called The Crunge. Like it, The Crunge?
No. Nobody likes that song.
Yeah, it's so awful.
That's not a good song. I think there's some decent guitar bits in there, though. There's some, you know, some cool funky guitar. I'll give him credit for that. So that alone will save it for me from making my list. But no, it's not a good song. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that's your worst song, but no, it's not a good song.
Well, what I did is I dropped a bunch of songs into iTunes that I thought were contenders, and then I just listened to them all and you know, kind of picked, whittled it down to five and put them in order.
Yeah, right.
And I did that a while ago. So, yeah, this, you know, any list like this, it's funny, you know, if I hadn't looked at what I did and I just tried to redo it from scratch, it probably would have been maybe a couple different songs and probably in a different order. It probably just depends on the day and stuff like that, too. You know?
It always seems that people put more weight, like the people reading lists of five best and five worst put a lot more weight than the people writing the lists. People yeah. just kind of like fire them off pretty quick and don't think too hard about it. And then the people reading it obsess about them.
Yeah, my two, I had two, the other two that were the biggest contenders were Boogie with Stew from Physical Graffiti and I'm Gonna Crawl, another song from In Through the Outdoor. Those are the other, like the 6 and 7 for me.
Right.
Yeah, because honestly, like you said, there's not a lot of contenders for this list. Most Led Zeppelin songs are at least of some level of quality, and a lot of them are really great, so...
Yeah.
It's not like there's a ton of competition for what are the five worst, but I guess there's enough.
Have you seen the bridge?
I ain't seen the bridge!
Where's that confounded bridge?
It was harder than the Beatles for me, but it's still kind of... It's almost shocking when you change your perspective on bands you like, and you're like, no, what's the shit? And you start digging in, and you really kind of critically listen to the songs and you're like, you know what? I don't care that this song's on the radio all the time. It's crap. And I think I was a little surprised that Zeppelin's lows were pretty low, you know? And I would argue I still prefer Zeppelin over the Beatles, but I think some of the Zeppelin's low points are probably lower than the Beatles were.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah, because, well, if the Beatles tried to be funny, they probably were at least... a little bit funny, whereas, you know, these Zeppelin songs that are supposed to be kind of like a parody or something, they just, there's just no humor there.
Yeah.
It's just, you're just like, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? This is stupid. So, because, yeah, I don't think Robert Plant, I love Robert Plant. I've heard some great stories about him. It seems like he's a really, really nice guy.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think he's good at having a piss, as they would say, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's much
yeah,
yeah. easier to make fun of than for him to make, you know. He's a very you know, he's a very easily mocked kind of, you know, his stage presence and his voice and, you know, do you remember laughter, you know, he's a very you know, it's a lot easier to make fun of him than for him to be the one making fun, I guess.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much of a sense of humor Jimmy Page ever had.
Yeah, the whole band didn't strike me as, you know, pranksters.
Yeah, yeah.
So now we have to decide who's going to be next.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a lot of fun to be had. I know you're all hyped up to do Dokken.
I really do. Really do want to do Dokken. I love Dokken, but they've got some crappy songs.
Yeah, I would have.
I want to
hard...
do Dokken. I want to do Kiss. Those are the two I'm most excited by.
Oh,
but
Kiss
I'm
will be
for
a ton of fun. But I know for me that if I'm, unless I don't just pick the five worst, then all the Dokken songs are going to be from like one or two albums. You know, the later ones.
I think what we'd have to do is say like George Lynch era Dokken, but you can only choose one, maximum of one from Dysfunctional. And one from Shadow Life.
Yeah, we would have to have some kind of,
you know,
a
you
rule.
Gotta got some limits because it'd be unfair.
Yeah,
you
otherwise
know?
I would just have five picks from Shadow Life, probably. You know, if
exactly.
I was just gonna pick my least favorites.
Or you say five of the worst from, you know, the '80s Dokken. You know, and that's it. You've only got to go from the '80s.
Yeah, I think we should like do '80s Dokken. I think with some bands, I think we're gonna have to put parameters on it. Otherwise, it won't be any fun.
Yeah, because if they've got truly a stinker of an album, then yeah, that's gonna skew it too hard.
Well, yeah, even with Kiss, all of my picks would probably be from Carnival of Souls.
That's why I want to do, you know, with Kiss, I want to do one song per album, the worst song in each album, just stretch it out through a couple episodes.
Maybe we should do like worst of the makeup era or something like that.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Makeup phase one.
If it was all Kiss, then I would pick 5 songs from Carnival of Souls. That would be my entire list. So
yeah, but that's fair, though, to say, yeah, 5 worst of the original 4, you know.
Yeah.
Core Kiss albums.
I think it'll be a ton of fun to do, like, AC/DC. We're saying we're going to have to set some kind of parameters.
On some of these, yeah, I think so.
And then I love my idea of flipping this and doing best of, but picking the worst bands. And then we have to pick the 5 best.
5 best MC Hammer songs. Yeah, exactly. All right. You're going to force me to listen to MC Hammer. Let's do it.
Yeah. 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 5 best Justin Bieber.
If any Rockin' Pod, you know, people want to, you know, donate to Rockin' Pod, we can switch it around. You can buy the 5 best of a shitty band. We'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, best of Color Me Bad. I don't know.
That's it. I'm retiring from.
Did they only have one album? The 5 best songs from the one Color Me Bad. I don't know if they had even more than one.
I'd have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I don't. Yeah, I'm just kidding about Color Me Bad. Please, nobody donate $50 to do best of Color Me Bad. That would not be good.
I'm practically opening my wallet just because I know it would hurt you.
Yeah, somebody will pay $50 to do best of Sponge. Best of Matchbox 20. That would be the worst.
Oh,
that would be the worst.
Worst.
I would never even subject myself to that. I couldn't do it. How would I do it?
I was flipping through the radio and a Darius Rucker song came on. I guess he's all country now. Geez. But what was his band?
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, 5 best Hootie songs. Fuck.
Yeah, that would be really hard. That would be hilarious, though. If we try to pick the 5 best Hootie and the Blowfish songs, that would be pretty funny.
Come on, somebody open their wallets and do that.
How many albums did they have? I don't even. They probably only had a few, maybe 5 or something.
I don't know. They wouldn't have had many, though.
Well, thanks, Brian.
Always a pleasure.
She's buying the stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stars are all closed, she can call in and see her forget. And she's buying a stairway to heaven. There's a sometimes words have to mean. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts have
That's so.
I'll be back.